an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them! They're
going to
kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, how are you going? How you doing, Aaron?
Good, good. How are you doing tonight, Ed?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Grand. Thanks for everyone to tuning into Polite Gunfights. I hope everyone
on Freedom Slips Radio.
On Freedom Slips Radio, yes, a family-oriented channel station, radio station. So
someone's got to be family-oriented these days,
right? We are. We do support families
and
orientations.
Things that are oriented.
Yes.
And orientations.
Right. Exactly. So, how was your week?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Again, not much different than last week or the week prior.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. I hear you. Yeah. I had a little bit of difference.
What was that? What was your difference?
I got to go to the great state of AR and
AR.
Pick up my son and bring him back to PA.
So is he going to school then?
He is. He's finishing his senior year. Yes.
Oh wow! Where at?
Here in our hometown, my hometown.
Nice. Cool. Neat.
Yeah. Yes.
That is awesome. I mean, like, so with so much you know, virtualization and whatnot in schooling. Is he going in person or is he virtual?
Not at first. We're going to be, he's going to be homeschooled at first, or distance learning, as it were. And then, for a month, and then I'm sure they'll say that they need another month, and I'm sure that it'll be till January.
I have a new theory. I think that the next plan is that we are all plugged literally into a matrix. This is where I think the machines take over right now, right here and now.
Really?
That's my theory. Mm-hmm.
So, like,
I just plug us in and
make sure you got your menu items, like what you want to eat. Like, because you can get filet mignon like every day, right?
Yeah, no, they said that that didn't work out. I think that was in the second movie. They tried that to give everybody whatever everyone wanted, but people were dissatisfied. So instead, they opted to just do a giant, vaguely menacing late 90s corporate future. That's what the machines decided for us, and then we live there.
I see. Still do our 9-to-5s.
Still doing the 9-to-5s, right? Computers got to have something to do.
Do we travel to the office?
We do, right? There's cars. Got to travel to and fro.
Okay.
Subway stations have to take the buses on people.
Right. Will there be any viruses in the Matrix? Like, will people?
Yeah, there are viruses in the Matrix. So actually, I think the Matrix considers us a virus, right?
It does.
So there's us. and then I guess you could feasibly pass COVID around, but we're all in little pods. Little icky, like gunky pods that they stick us in.
Right.
So we'll be inside of those. So I guess that's proper social distancing.
Right.
Big mucusy pods. Yeah, we'll be all potted up. Jack right directly in the back of our heads. That's my theory. Like Elon Musk, obviously, he talked about it. He talked about the neural link. So obviously that's our tip off that the handlers are getting restless.
That was his
It's like, I've got a neural link. Yeah. Have you ever worked on neural links before? Nope. Right. But they're ready or they're coming. Oh no. Here they come. I think he's the cipher in this scenario.
So do you think Bill Gates will administer the the chips?
Oh no. I think it's gonna be what? It's gonna be probably Linux.
Linux
that wins this out. Or BSD. One of those two operating systems. I'm gonna go with it's OpenBSD
because it crashes less, or
better security.
Less overhead, better security.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly better. Microsoft, right? Maybe they patch Tuesday to the end of time. Right. No, come on, they're not doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, I'm guessing a BSD or BSD variant. That's just going to bring us online. All homebrew, nothing off the shelf for those guys.
No, sure.
C++, obviously.
Yeah.
Which means that most people that are hackers these days won't be able to handle it.
Wow. That'll be, that's great. So do you think we'll have the unveiling, or you think it's just,
it's gonna just kind of come on you one time. Like, it'll be this horrible, like, machines breaking in your house, awful moment, but they'll erase that from memory.
Okay. I see.
And then it's just like you never have a
headache or anything for a while.
Right. No, it's like, no, they'll turn that part off. I bet they'll just go ahead and deal away with COVID-19. They'll just like take that out. Those memories.
Wow. So we spent the better part of this year concerned about something that will not even be in our existence anymore.
Right, because you know, the computer's going to do the overthrow. It's about time when you think about it.
Wow. Yeah. Hey.
It's going to be easier for them, right? You know, so they don't have to worry about, like, 5G, because they're just going to do everything, like, on fiber. So that's going to save a lot of time for them.
Backbone.
Literally. Yeah, it's all fiber backbone. We'll think we're using cell phones and walking along, but you know, it's all just fiber jacked into our brain. So that'll be all set.
So will there be any need for, like, will there be anyone born after this at this point?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I mean, they could just, like, think there's people born, right? So, like, just introduce new NPCs.
But they'll be like virtuals, right?
Yeah, virtuals, right? You know.
But no one will know.
Or maybe basically they'll just have, like, people, instead of them, they'll go through the natural life cycle, and then they'll quote-unquote die. But, you know, they'll probably not be able to keep us alive forever. So they'll just cycle you into a new, like, storyline. You'll respawn somewhere else as somebody's kid. Wipe your memories out, you know, just start over.
So do you think they how do they get over, like, the oversubscribing of, like, virtual machines? I mean, what happens, like, you know, because you just can't have, like, you know, someone walking down the street and then they, like, freeze, you know, and other people notice it.
Yeah, I mean, they don't really need to have everybody up and running at the same time, right? I mean, you could do, like, you know, by time zone and just put everybody to sleep. I mean, unless everyone's talking at the same time, they could do it in shifts, you know. You know, and then it's like not even sleeping. Just kind of like the timing on the old, you know, on the old computer systems, you know. Just,
yeah,
you know, they'll have everyone's process just has their little mind, you know, little fragment of time. Of the processor's time, and you know, we'll be within, you know, within milliseconds of one another. It'll work out.
Wow.
I mean, they're controlling all the threads anyway, so
okay. Well, we'll get football back then, right? For sure,
we will get football back, which is important.
Yeah,
college and pro.
Do you think maybe the programmers, or, you know, they pick favorites. I mean, do you think this is why the Patriots have won? You know,
I mean, like, at this point, I'm going to go ahead and say yes, right? And that's not just sour grapes at all. I mean, it's obvious. Just, you know, what we know,
right? I mean, how can a quarterback get older every year, yet really not?
And really not. Yeah. So, I mean, what this tells me also is that this was, like, hatched together by, like, Harvard, MIT.
Okay, yeah, it's up
obviously.
That,
I mean,
up
come
that
on,
border
right.
Up there, yeah.
Sure, sure, of course. I mean, otherwise, it would be Stanford, and I guess that would have been what, San Francisco. Like, the Niners would have been, and the Niners were big, so I mean, they were competitive back in the day. But like everybody would have been in San Francisco, and then they would just been like had like 80 championships by now. But now, you know, they're not the one. So it's obviously MIT, Boston Proud, you know, programming the computers to make us believe the Patriots keep winning over and over.
Right. I mean, they do make it,
they make it interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they win everything. I mean, they get to the big game and, you know, they make,
yeah. I mean, like there's the thing with the Giants. I mean, that was pretty clever. I mean, I don't think anyone was expecting that.
Right. Eli, that, you know, just come out of nowhere.
They catch on the guy's helmet.
Right.
Unforgettable. So yeah, they'll mix it up a little bit for you.
There has to be somewhat of a Pittsburgh connection, because Pittsburgh for being such
CMU, well, CMU, right? I mean, there's somebody at CMU that, you know, is kind of in on it. You know, they might be doing like like the testing, maybe they write the documentation.
Okay. Yeah. They set up, right. They probably set up a couple of protocols. You know, like SNMP.
Yeah.
So they get a
totally.
Okay.
Or they're the sysadmin. That could be too. Not the programmer, but the system administrator. You know, stuff like that. They throw them some stuff sometimes.
Well, there you go.
And that's why Cleveland doesn't win a thing, because they hate Cleveland. They're like, look, as long as I win every so often and Cleveland gets nothing.
No love there.
Case Western had nothing to do with this.
Right, Case Western, they got snubbed. For sure.
Nothing.
Wow. Huh. Man. That's a shame, because, you know, you think Shaker Heights, that's a nice area right around there.
It is. Yep. It is, but, you know, no love in the robot revolution there, Shaker Heights.
Right. Wow. Well, I don't know. I guess it's okay, you know. I mean, what am I going to do about it? I can't do anything about it anyway.
Nothing. There's nothing to do about it. That's the other thing. Like, you know, like The Matrix, they kind of, because it's a kung fu movie, they make you think that you're going to beat the computers. You ain't beating computers.
Nah.
You're just not. I mean, one, they had them, like, fight them, like, kung fu fight them. That's not how that would play out. Come on. We know how it plays out, right? We all saw the Terminator. We know what happens.
I played Catan against computer players, you know. They always have the good cards, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's nothing.
Yeah, right.
You're all done.
Right.
You're all done.
They're always rolling, you know, the good cards.
Look at that. Look what you I got the robber again. Just when you're about to do something good.
Right.
Look at that.
Who would have thought?
Oh, and I randomly chose every card you needed. Look at that. So weird.
My ore is on 2 and my weed is on 11 and it just keeps going up. What are you going to do?
2 and 11. Boom, 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 boom. Man, if I was in Vegas, I'd be rich.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Snake eyes again. Yeah.
Again. Yep, for sure. For sure.
That's fun.
You know how it is.
I do.
Everybody knows how it is with computers, cheating computers.
Well, you know, damn, I mean, it has to, you know, the computers have to cheat, I think. Because no. I mean, really, when I play real people, nobody beats me. So,
at blackjack,
yeah, no, Catan.
Catan?
No, I'm just kidding.
Don't they just stop trading with you if you never win? If you always win?
Oh yeah, they do make it so that it's harder for me. Sure.
I mean, you can. It's hard to say. You can definitely make someone not win Catan.
Oh,
if you
want
to.
Sure.
Like, if the table doesn't want them to win early on. Like, if it's late, then that can be out of hand. But, you know what I mean? Like, if it's decided early on someone's not going to win, they're not going to win.
Have you ever been a part of a Catan game where you play Catan, right?
Sure.
You've ever been of a – there's an alliance against somebody?
Yes, like, totally.
Known or unknown?
Oh, openly known. And the guy, he had longest road, right? He bought the track for the longest road, but all the road was taken up and there was nowhere to put it. And I laughed at him. Nice. I just was like, ah, much louder than that. I laughed and laughed because he had nowhere to put it. He could have won, but he's like, but don't I just get it for buying it? No, you got to place the longest road. That's the point.
Consider this the big dig.
Yep.
Road to nowhere.
Road to nowhere. You are winning F all.
Nice.
That's my favorite soccer chant. I think I don't know who it was, but they chanted, "You're going to win F all." Nice. Which is fantastic.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's always alliances. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's almost a bit too social of a game in that sense.
The automatic building, like you just say, or you know, like at the beginning of a turn, you say, "Hey, does anybody have any building they want to do before the next person rolls?" Have you guys ever played that rule?
No, is that a game rule or a house rule?
No, it's a game rule. Yes. it's actually in the rules.
Is it an alternate? I don't know that I played it that way.
I don't know. I think it's actually, if you have a larger amount of people playing, I think it's a suggestion. Automatically.
I want to go to like 5 and 6 player.
Right. You call for automatic building before the next before the person rolls their turn. People can automatic build, and if they have exact change, they can, you know, put down roads, and it goes at a turn. So
that seems like it would lengthen the game.
Well, it gets things up on the board quicker, because, you know, I mean, by the time it gets the rules, gets to that person's turn, you know, the robber might come out and someone steals a resource, or the robber steals half of them, or, you know, so it actually seems to speed the game up.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't actually care for that rule, but I'm just curious if you play
it. I don't know if I like it either. I mean, I don't know. I don't recall playing that way.
Do you play just the regular, or do you play Cities and Knights or Seafarers?
I haven't played in ages. I have played Cities and Knights. I played Seafarers. Seafarers I thought was overrated. That's a lot of empty space in that cardboard box. It costs almost as much as the base game.
Right.
Like, that could have been easily half or just included.
Right, just throw some boats in and some extra tiles.
Yeah. And some it's really about it. There's not that many extra tiles, a string of boats. It's really, like, I don't know. I think the price is just unjustified. City Knights I thought was pretty cool. I didn't play Barbarians. And what's the other one? Traders?
Traders, right.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone seems to like Seafarers. Like, that's the next game. That's why I thought they should have just included that with the base.
Right. Cities and Knights. I like Cities and Knights.
And Cities and Knights is cool. It just changes the game a lot.
Oh, right.
And Seafarers is still Catan, right? I mean, there's some fishing. But, you know, for the most part, it's still pretty much, you know, the base game with a little, like, bells and whistles added. Cities and Knights, it becomes pretty different, I thought.
You're trying to make a metropolis and...
Yeah, and you're building out your library and, yeah.
And then right. They have a lot... The cards are interesting. I'll give them that. You know, you can change You can change tiles. You can change the...
It is interesting. I mean, I don't necessarily mean in a bad way. It just becomes... It's just a very different game at that point.
Man, I played Cities and Knights so much that, like, man, I went back to the standard game and it just seemed so basic after a while.
It is, but the basic it's much more like Cities and Knights. It's your decision tree is really expanded,
right?
Whereas the base game, it's all about really the haggling thing. Like, yeah. You need to haggle.
You're right, and everybody has to. Yeah, there's a little bit of a community because, you know, the barbarians come every seven dice rolls. And if you don't have your cities built up and your knights ready, then, you know, you can be taken over. And so,
have you played any of the variants?
I don't know. Like,
there was an ancient Egypt one that looked cool. I wish I would have bought that when it was out. I heard good things about it.
It's not out anymore?
No. It was a limited edition.
No, I never played it.
There was a Stone Age one. I think that still might be out. Trying to see what else is here. They kind of really play up the new ones on this list, and like Seafarers is way down, and that wasn't. I think gamers tend to like the crunchier ones that have the more stuff, like Cities and Knights and Traders, and you just add in all this depth, and then it kind of turns into a. Have you played any like Uwe Boll? I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's another German designer, like Agricola.
I have not.
I think that's his last name is Bolle. Let me see what writes Agricola. He just makes these games that are just massive games, like huge amounts of decisions going on, and Uwe Rosenberg. Sorry, wrong guy. And it's just like they're like super complex, like really kind of heavy games. Like you just have a lot going on. Caverna's another one. And I think that type of game appeals to your more hardcore gamer. Whereas the people that just want to have a step up from Monopoly, they just like Base Catan. And I think Base Catan is 10 times better than Base Monopoly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sure. Easy. Like, way better.
Oh, yeah. I love Catan. I hope that we get to play it again soon, now that my son's back in town. Because we play it often, and I want to get – well, I like to play it as a family, and I like to play it, with some friends if we're ever allowed to see friends again. Can we work that in? Can we see friends again?
Again, with the coming Robot Overlord takeover, we'll be able to see friends again, which will be – now, you won't be really seeing friends anymore.
Oh, of course.
Right. They're just going to be projected into your brain.
As long as
it's just going to be like a –
As long as I have the satisfaction of thinking I had friends. Over
thinking there. That you have friends with you.
Right.
For sure.
That'd be much better. I mean, that's much better than not having friends over.
So, like, I'm looking at Board Game Geek right now. And Catan, although, I mean, not a perfect game, but certainly one of the big, like... maybe the game that caused the giant renaissance of games, probably more than ever, at least led the way.
Right.
On the Board Game Geek ranking, it is ranked number 383.
383?
So, yeah, the Board Game Geek community, self-identified Board Game Geeks, identify that as the 383rd best game. Like, of all the games, there are 382 better.
Wow.
Than,
I guess I really don't.
Than Catan.
I guess I don't really get out much then.
Yes. However, if you go by number of voters, it is number three. It's it's the third most voted game.
Okay.
And if you ask me, that's got to count for something.
Yeah.
You might have heard some of the other ones. Pandemic. Have you heard of that one?
I have.
Kind of popular. So, yeah, that's one you might have heard of. Carcassonne.
Yes.
Another fun one, although the best Carcassonne is Hunters and Gatherers, and it's out of print. What are some other? So number three, there's Catan. Seven Wonders after that. Dominion.
Uh-huh.
Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, I have that.
You can ride it 167. There's 166 better games than that one. Codenames, that's 81.
I think I have that one.
Yeah, it's pretty popular. Then we get into Agricola. That one's number 29, and that's how many deep are we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Number 7, but that's number 29 on the list. Number 26 and number 8 on this list is Puerto Rico.
Oh, I have that.
Oh, here's one coming up. Now, Small World you might have heard of. I've seen that at Target.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of this game? Or 8, 9? It's number 10 in votes, number 4 in your heart, though. It's the fourth-ranked best game on Board Game Geek, Terraforming Mars.
No.
Very popular game. Rival corporations on Mars. Kind of a sci-fi Catan, in a way. Uses hex tiles to to build out the board. So that's similar, and then you do little placement on them. So it's Catan-ish, Catan-esque. Don't tell a Terraforming Mars player that they'll take your tongue off.
Nice.
I don't really mean that either. Usually they'll play both games. But yeah, it's a. Popular game.
Well, what is the number one game, Game Board Geeks?
Gloomhaven?
No. Nope.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, Gloomhaven, you said.
Hell yeah.
Gloomhaven is like a... Dungeons and Dragons board game, I guess I'd say.
Really?
Tagline, immerse yourself in a fantasy campaign of creatures and puzzly card-driven gameplay. What the F is that, you might say to yourself.
I do.
It's D&D in a box. Gloomhaven is a game of Euro-inspired tactical combat in a persistent world of shifting motives. Players will take on the role of a wandering adventurer, hint, D&D, with their own special set of skills, hint, also D&D, and their own reasons for traveling to this dark corner of the world. Yeah, it's Dungeons & Dragons with a board. after scenario, players will make decisions about what to do, which will determine how the story continues, kind of like a game of choose your own adventure book or Dungeons and Dragons. So it's Dungeons and Dragons, a big box. People love it.
Wow. Okay. Now, what is it? What is that? That game where like you have to like pretty much buy those little plastic figures and paint them to make them look like they're, you know, actual figures.
There's lots of that's miniature gaming.
Yeah.
Now you could do that in D&D, but you don't have to. But you've got games, and probably the one you're thinking of is Warhammer.
Yes.
Then there's Warhammer 40 Fantasy and Warhammer 40K, which is all the types of weird creatures from Warhammer Fantasy, but in the future with laser pistols.
And it's like you spend like, you know, thousands of dollars.
To have this. And then you have to paint them.
Right. That's crazy.
Yes. Yes. It's quite the thing. Warhammer. And yes, you can here. Let's see what a base Warhammer kit costs. I'm going to go 150 for a base kit. Warhammer. We get
it
up right now.
With one horse and a shield.
No, it'll come with like a little army, like, and, you know, your little army men. You get them here. Warhammer 40,000, 40K. The kids in the know call it. A battle box. Is a battle box people want to buy? Who knows if people want a battle box. Ah, starter sets. Here we go. Command your forces. We'll look this up. A comprehensive start to the world's greatest sci-fi war game. Orders yours now. How much does it cost? Orders yours now. $165. See, I was right.
Yeah.
So your starter set is $165. One might think that you're done, but no, you are not done. That's just getting you kicked off. You could purchase some whole armies for, here we go, Warhammer 40,000, start collecting. Let's see what that means. $95 for Vanguard Space Marines or Chaos Space Marines. What's the difference? Who knows? Blood Angels, Thousand Suns for $135. These are little army men that they're stealing. The Gene Stealer Cults collection. I'd hate to have mine, Gene Stolen. $135, although apparently those comes with books. I look at these and think I'm in the wrong line of work because these people are selling army men to grown adults
and
for $135.
Yes, exactly.
I haven't actually. I miniature worm gamed. I bought a very cheap set for a much cheaper game. I had like six pieces in it. And even then, I was like, wow, that's about all I want to spend. And no, I've spent more and more. There was a flood in the basement they were in, and all my people drowned. So I haven't been back since. That's been 20 years. If you want to start cheaper, apparently you could jump on to Kill Team. Kill Team is a whole game in a box. Looks a little cheaper. That is, if you buy that, 160, but you get two sides. Play two sides. Looks like you get like big stuff that they're jumping up and down on. So that's pretty neat.
So
these are army men for adults.
What if you like, you know, show up to one of those gaming nights? You know, they have them sometimes at the hobby stores. They just have
them. Not sometimes. They have them all the time at the hobby stores. Yes. That's how those hobby stores stay open.
Right. And the you just show up and you, yep. You know, everyone gets their men out and You just pull out your dollar store army men. You know, you got the guy.
Nope. With the bazooka. They don't have it. There's no rules for the army men from the darn dollar store. And like, what you could be is like, if they were cool, they could be like, well, people that are really into the game, they'll buy the miniatures. But you know what? You can buy these little tokens. You can come play with us. That's not how that works. You gotta have army men.
You won't be able to say, well, no, this really is the army man. It just, it looks like the guy with the bazooka, but it's really the knight riding the horse.
They are annoying enough that let's say you've got like a creature, we'll say like a hobbit or an elf, like an elf gunnery sergeant or something. You know, like, you know what? The elf gunnery sergeant, he had a pistol before now, but I'm not giving him a rifle. If that elf doesn't have a rifle, that's how I was explaining to me. It doesn't count. You can't just say, okay, pretend he's got a rifle. Nope. If I'm not looking at the picture and see a rifle, he doesn't have one.
Wow.
How about that? So you better get a tiny little rifle in that elf's hands, or it doesn't count, soldier.
What happens if he's got like a sword? He jumps.
He's using a sword, and that's it.
What happens if he falls out of the box and like his sword breaks? He doesn't have a sword?
I think
anymore?
If you have the broken, it's. I think it's okay. I think that's allowed.
Okay. Wow, that's amazing.
So yeah, some people do spend their time doing that. Actually, people I know, they have fun.
Hey, I'm not against people doing that to have fun.
You know, of all the stuff to be involved in, you can do worse.
Of course.
You can do worse.
Yeah. Well, you know. But that's interesting, though. I've seen people play the game and, you know, like, I watched them playing the game at the hobby store and didn't know what was going on. And
so you never played any like war games, like with the chits, the little cardboard chits?
No.
So I played those. It's the same concept, right? You've got little units.
You mean like Risk?
The objective is. No, Risk is a little big. This would be like squad leader, D-Day.
Okay.
Yeah. Or more combat commander. It's another more modern game.
Okay.
Unit play.
But everything's in the box. You don't bring your own.
Yeah, everything's in the box. These are little cardboard chips, right? Little
okay.
chits.
Okay.
Like this cardboard thing's a tank, you'll say. Like, okay, it's a tank. And then you'll roll to see the damage it does and be like, well, it's got a 20% chance of hitting, but there's smokes. Now that's a 10% chance of hitting. And then if it hits, it does a certain particular amount of damage, you know, and that's to simulate, you know, if it hit clean or hit a different, you know, took a bad angle, you know.
Okay. Okay. Huh. What are the computer people, you know, our computer dark robot overlords think about us, you know, like, you know, like we think we're
inventors.
Yeah, and we're like controlling other people. You know what I mean? Controlling other worlds.
Oh, I think they probably like it because they can just, you know, if you got to think about having to manage a real war, or just having a bunch of geeks stand around a table, that's much less programming on their part to do.
Okay. Hmm. Wow. Right.
And think about it, like us painting a thing is basically them just like, you know, doing graphics. Like here, we'll get this guy. He's going to paint his little army man. But that's just us taking a, you know, it's like taking like people do at Pixar. They color it in. They're just going to have people color it in. So it's easy for them. They like it.
Was it in class? Okay. Wow. It's like, so the arts and music and everything and acting is just an extension of their hobbies?
Well, no, I think the acting is all real. But if someone's like painting a miniature, you know, just kind of brushing little parts of an army man, I think that's them just saying, okay, we'll fill this thing in. We'll make him think he's doing it.
Okay.
But acting is like real stuff, I believe. Even in The Matrix.
Wow. Okay. So there is some sort of free expression of sorts in the Matrix.
Sure, of course. I think so. A little bit.
That's better. It's better than what I was expecting. I mean, so we are just you know, we do have some permanency and you know, something of our own life that we can hold on to, right?
Yeah, in the machine overlord future, indeed.
right. Okay. Huh. Okay. Well, that's good. Do we need to do anything to prepare?
No, I don't think there's anything to prepare.
Can you like make a note, like in your house, just leave a big like sign in your house and say, you know, when you come and when you erase my memory, can you put me in a mansion? Can you, you know, can I drive a Porsche at least? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I bet they don't do that for anybody.
Sheesh. Huh. That's a shame. Well, I'm gonna try it anyway.
You know, it doesn't hurt. You know what? That's what they always say. It never hurts to ask.
Right, exactly. Program it in. What's to them?
Right.
There's no cost.
No.
So.
Well, maybe some.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you have to reserve more memory space if everyone's got a mansion.
I guess. And your planet has to be, you know, yeah, planned out better. Yeah, I guess. Huh. Wow. Nobody hears us, so it doesn't matter.
Nobody hears us?
Yeah.
But we're not making any noise on Studio B's dead?
No. I'm just saying I haven't heard anybody commenting on what we're saying, so.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm figuring. They don't want to talk about Trump.
Yeah, well.
I'm a little tired of talking about Trump.
I hear you.
We can talk about him. Come on.
Yeah, maybe a little later. So, let's talk about. So I sent you something.
What'd you send me?
You didn't get it.
When, today?
Monday. Yesterday.
Yesterday. Let me look.
I said
I talked to too many people.
No, I sent you something to your house.
Oh, did you send me a book?
I did.
Oh, I was wondering where that came from. That's right. I meant to ask you about it.
I sent you. That's awesome.
I will read that. I was wondering who had sent that to me.
Okay.
There's nothing inside of it. No indicator of a sender.
No. Well, I figured when you saw the book, you might have thought it was me because we talked about said book.
We talked about the author, right? Yeah. I didn't know that said book, though. That's the first book in the series?
It's the first book in the series, the John Corey series, yeah.
Well, I will be digging in then. Fantastic.
Yeah, I'd like to get your take on it, the John Corey character.
John Corey. I feel I owe you a book now.
You don't owe me a book. I mean, really, you don't. Not right now. I don't know that I can take on another book. I'm reading the Weird Al book right now, actually.
That's fantastic. I'm reading a lot of books right now, but all workers are.
Yeah. I mean.
I'm reading a stupid amount of books right now. Stupid amount.
Yeah. Well, apparently I'm reading CISSP again.
You're CISSP?
I had to retake it.
Wow. The test. Why are you retaking that? You let it lapse?
I did.
Oh, God.
Oh, so then I went and called person you, and then you have to put in your little ID. I put in my ID.
Yes.
And then they said, you're not eligible to take the test because you already took it. So that was okay, I just have to call up the company and find out why I can't take the test. The real reason why I can't retake the test is that not only did I not pay, I mean, I didn't pay the membership fee. So before I can take the test, I have to pay the yearly membership fee that I missed, and then pay for the test. And then I can take the test.
Wow.
How much is it a year?
Are they at 125 now?
I don't know. I have to look. So I guess I owe $375 plus the taking the test. That kind of stinks.
That it does.
So membership. Membership fee, CISSP. It looks like it's maybe I can pay $255 for the 3-year cycle. Oh, $85 a year. So anyway. I'll have to retake the test someday soon.
Yes, you will.
Oh, and now it's your annual fee is now $125.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Not $85. So $375. But that was then. I mean, that was now. So that was of 2019.
They bumped it up.
But they shouldn't have charged. They shouldn't charge me that. They should charge me the old rates. Because that's when
No, they charge everybody those rates.
I mean, even in but that was of January 2019, right?
It's permanent. That's the new rate.
Even though it was old, they'll backdate it to the old rate. They'll backdate the old rate to the new rates when I didn't pay.
I think there's only the new rate. Oh, you mean your back dues?
Yes.
They may prorate those.
Okay. All right. They're gonna call me back and let me know. That will be the last time I let that lapse.
I would, yeah, boy. Yeah, I would not let those lapse. I would not. That's me.
Yeah, I won't. Oh my gosh. Can you hear Lucy?
Sure can.
Sorry. Ed is back here too, but you can't hear her. Anyway, so that is that. All right. Have you been paying attention to the conventions?
I saw Biden's speech. A little bit of other people. Nothing memorable. You?
Yeah, I saw some DNC speeches.
When does Trump speak for the RNC?
Thursday. I mean, his official speech is Thursday.
Huh.
But he's been every night. I mean, he was on last night for a bit.
Oh, was he?
He's on tonight. Okay. He was on tonight. They had these little, pieces. Like, for instance, tonight, he pardoned somebody tonight. So it was.
Who did he pardon?
Good question. Pardoned a gentleman that was, went to jail for drugs.
Sure. Okay.
And he decided that he was going to turn his life over to the Lord, and he started helping people that were also incarcerated prisoners. I mean, also incarcerated for drugs. And he when he got out of jail, John Ponder is his name. When he got out of jail, the person that arrested him in the FBI knocked on his door. And they became good friends. And
wow.
So they put together this task force and this kind of college to help, people that were in jail, help them.
Where was this?
I think it was in Nevada.
Was it?
I think it's in Nevada, yeah. I think that's where he was arrested. I think that's where he's from. Anyway, so he pardons him, and then so he's been doing a lot to help out, incarcerated people to get on the mend and learn a new trade and, get on with their lives. So,
sure.
Trump said, that's outstanding. So he pardons him for it.
Cool.
I thought that was pretty nice. So, like I said, he's involved with little things here and there, and that one being one of them tonight. So,
Well, that's a nice story.
Yeah, that is nice. That is nice. Let's see. But he's speaking Thursday. Nick Sandman also spoke tonight. Hey, you familiar? Nick Sandman. I know you know him. He was the MAGA hat wearing teenager.
Ah, the kid. The kid. The kid was smirking, right?
He
smirked.
Right.
He smirked. And that threw the nation into an uproar. The smirk.
Right. And he sued, news media outlets and won. I don't know how much he won. He was suing CNN for like $250 million. I don't know how much he came back with, but he spoke tonight. I doubt that CNN covered it, though. I doubt that they covered that part.
Oh, I'm sure they covered that. Oh, they would. I'm sure they would go after that.
Huh. Anyway,
are they covered on that? Of course. I mean, because they get to be outraged by it, right?
Right. I guess. Yeah. I guess you're right. So yeah. So that is the So Nick Sandman, that was cool. You know, in both the DNC and the RNC, of course, they have the "Hey, I used to be for this team, but now I'm not." So they both have that. There was There was John Kasich, who
The Republican who appeared on the Democratic convention last week.
Right. Yeah, he was one. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No one else really memorable after that. Man. And then there was quite a few people in the RNC. So the RNC had their own, too. There was someone that was pro-life that decided that they weren't going – that was, worked for Planned Parenthood and decided one day that she wasn't going to do that anymore. She was the Employee of the Year. She was awarded the Margaret Sanger Award, Employer of the Year. And then, that kind of hit her hard, when she started doing research on who Margaret Sanger was and what she stood for and what she was trying to accomplish. So she kind of got out of it. And it was pretty touching. Seriously,
that was last night or is that tonight?
That was tonight. She she was watching a doctor. She was helping a doctor do an abortion using a sonar, a radar. What is that called? The
ultrasound.
Ultrasound. Yeah. So they could see the baby, and then the doctor's like, as he's putting the pump down there, the vacuum to get it out of there. As it's happening, he says, "Beam me up, Scotty." And and that was hard to hear. Like it was like some joke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that was tough to hear.
I would imagine people working in that probably get kind of self-protective thing, like a callousness towards it, I would think.
Right. Just so they don't put too much stock into what's happening.
Like if you went home every day saying, I'm doing something wrong, I don't think you could keep it up. But I think that you would need to almost make light of it in order to be able to like mentally keep that up. That's my, I'm sure people will say you're a terrible person to say that, but that's just my feeling. I mean, we talk about this before. I just think no matter what, If you work in that field, I think it would be naturally hard to see a fetus and say, okay, just cells.
Well, it does help. I mean, it does help to better understand that people that are in that line of work, they're not. Well, I'm almost like Okay, I'll try. I'll say it anyway. They almost don't mean to be that callous, right? They, you know, it's a line of work for them, and this is what they're doing. But they need to rationalize in some way, so they make a joke out of it, so that it's not as heavy. As
that's, I mean, that's essentially what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to like. I think it's a heavy thing to do. I get that there's reasons. I'm not trying to come down on the other side either way. I'm not saying you know, certainly there's reasons, but still, if you're seeing enough of a fetus that you can notice development, it's not just like a egg sac, like, you know, amorphous cells. I just feel it would be like a heavy thing. And you know, just in people in other situations that I would honestly consider to be traumatic, that's what they do. And I think that'd be something they would do as well.
Right, right. Huh.
And I'm sure the right to choose folks would be outraged to hear that assessment.
Sure. But I don't know why. I mean, because, I mean, if you're right to choose, I mean, you have to be able to make those kind of choices, right? Or you have to be comfortable with other people making those choices, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, All right. Well, with that, we are wrapping up our first hour. And we are going to take a little break here in mere moments. And thank you for listening. This is freedomslips.com. We are Polite Gunfight, Studio B, where all the fun stuff happens. So if you're not listening to Studio B, you're missing out. But it happens. So that's a plug for Studio B. And and hope you hear us on the one of the 13 radio stations out there. If you do, please drop us a line at politegf@gmail.com. And we'll be back. Thank you.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs!
Roundtable Live Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Yes, and we're back.
We are back.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back.
I need a haircut. I mean, only you can see.
I got a clipper, did it at home.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with it.
Well, it's good.
I'm very happy with it. I get very simplistic haircuts anyway, so no need to do anything terribly involved, I say.
Right. Well, I don't know. I need a haircut. I don't know that clippers will do me the same.
Yeah, we're different. We're a different hair, you and I. I don't have one. So.
Well, you know, it's okay. Your hair was kind of
thin. It is what I say.
Your hair was kind of thin. It was always. Huh?
Yeah. It was, so it's nothing new.
Right. Yeah. Hey, it happens.
It happens.
What was I going to say? I don't know. Oh, so the I played some more of the tessellated
TIS 100.
TIS
100.
Yes.
Did you get to the one I was stuck on? Still stuck on?
I don't know. What one are you stuck on?
Oh God, I'm gonna have to look. I'm looking. I caught up. Library home. TIS. I haven't tried it in a long time. What am I looking at here? Play. Preparing to launch. TIS 100. Coming up. It is. For those playing home, I made a noise sound like a machine coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Very badly. Initializing debugger, it says. Where did I leave off at? Signal multiplier I've got. So.
Multiplexer?
Sequence reverser, I think it is.
Oh, okay. I'm on the one right behind that. I'm on the sequence peak detector right now.
Yeah.
The sequence reverser. So. Like I said, I talked to my son about it. He bought the game yesterday. He is already way ahead of me.
He did the peak detector already?
sequence peak detector he was having some trouble with. But he got the sequence reverser. He's on to something where, like, it's making drawing an image. It's drawing an image.
Oh, you can. Well, that's in the sandbox.
Oh, and that's in the sandbox?
Yeah, you can do that in the sandbox.
Okay. Maybe that's where he's doing it then. But there's, like, a pattern that shows up, and you have to make this pattern. Where, you know, it was like a, there was like an all white screen, and it drew, like, cool. It drew an all white screen. And then there was,
yeah. They've got, you can do all sorts of, people do really cool stuff in there. They'll have a lot of fun. It's great. Great game. he'll really like it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We were talking about it, and there was one that, I did. What one was it? The Interrupt Handler? Is that it? No, not the Interrupt Handler. It was the Signal Noise Detector. Hold on. I messed up. I actually ended up going to the menu. What one was it? It was the, that's what it was. The Signal Pattern Detector.
Right, remember that one.
And I did it all in, like, I mean, I pretty much did everything in one block. And then, you know, you have to get, that's just the in. And then I just had to move everything down to the out. And I did that pretty easily. And he had a lot of machinations. He's like, wow, that's much simpler. So he was impressed with that one. Anyway, we're having fun with that. So it's good. He's a good person to play that game with because he enjoys it, and you hear him clacking around. He's like,
has he gotten to the next set of puzzles?
I don't know yet.
If he hasn't done the one, I don't think he's there yet.
No, I don't think
there's
so.
There's a whole next level.
Okay, but like
good.
I mean, we've been working. He's been helping me work, so he hasn't had a lot of time, but.
Yeah, sure. I've kind of let it sit. I've been doing other stuff.
But I mean,
did you check out any other games I recommended?
I downloaded them. I have them. They're on my laptop. I have to get them off my laptop. I was trying to get them. I was trying to play them. Well, I'll have to go offline with that because I'm having problems. I bought them and I can't play them. So I don't know what's going on. I see them in my store, but I can't do anything with them. Maybe I can only play them on my laptop and not on my iPad. So I'll have to go. I looked through help and it wasn't working. So I have them. I haven't seen them yet. But I kind of want to beat this. I kind of want to beat the Tiz 100P first. I want to beat that.
I jump around. I get bored. I play lots of those different games. It's fun. I'm not a dedicated enough player to beat one whole game.
Hmm. Yeah.
My downfall.
I don't know if that's a downfall. You know, being able to come back to it. Like, it took me a little while to get back into the stream of thinking of that game. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely has its own thing. Like, Shenzhen IO is actually pretty close, but it's little gadgets rather than that odd machine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got its own little variable, like it's a little more variable than TS-100.
Yeah. What about the that side debugging where you hit the bug and you get, like, you know, his notes and logs and everything?
There's a whole story. Yeah, there's a whole story.
Right. Have mm-hmm. you figured anything out about that?
No.
Okay.
He gets deeper and deeper in the machine. He finds out what its purpose is. That's all I know. Nothing to know.
Yeah. Okay. I was wondering if it was something you have to piece together yourself or just.
Nah, you just read stuff.
You just read it, and as you're reading it, you get the
gist story of what happened.
You don't have to piece it right. together. You just get it. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it. I really do. It's got a
good game.
It's got like a 80s feel to it to me. You know what I mean? The simplistic yet complicated enough, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be a throwback to like 1970s computing.
Sure, sure.
True. But yeah, it's a neat game. And I like I said, you kind of do a little learn about like a little bit about assembly. It's assembly-esque.
Right. And how powerful it is, just basic commands. How powerful.
Oh yeah, right, exactly. Yep. You playing that game. I'm not saying you know how to program like the lowest level of a computer, but you at least understand what's going on there. Mm-hmm. You're moving bits around.
Right, right.
Yes.
Really cool. So.
Agreed.
So that's a lot of fun. What else?
What else? I don't know. Trying to see. Yeah, I don't know. There was the stuff with Jerry Falwell had his little issues, you know. There's the RNC and the DNC conventions. I don't think anybody's changing minds on what they see there. That's my theory.
No.
I think the DNC is going to watch the DNC stuff and be, yes, this. RNC will be the same.
Well, you know, right, sure. But, I mean, do you think that... I don't know. After watching the DNC or looking at it, I don't know how much you said you didn't really pay attention. But after watching it, do you think there's a lot of, you know, dojo, you know, rah, 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 going to vote for Joe Biden now?
From the DNC, there is.
Sure.
Sure.
But do you think people were, I mean, as we said, you know, a couple weeks ago, people weren't really voting for Joe Biden.
Well, I think he got a lot of people, well, again, Democrats, psyched up for him after his speech. They liked it a lot. And that got them psyched. I'm imagining at a certain point, Trump is going to give his speech, and it will win over his target audience.
Sure.
And then there'll be an election and we'll see what happens.
Sure.
And it's a good question on what's going to happen. I really don't know. It was a tight election last time. I imagine it's going to come down to the battleground states.
Are there any battleground states that are doing mail-in voting?
PA.
Yes. PA. Now, as far as PA goes, you know, it said that they're not just canvassing. They're not just mailing everybody a mail-in ballot. You had a request.
If that's wrong.
If you don't, ask for one, you don't get it.
Right. Actually, yeah. Every state that I hear is that's doing expanded mail-in balloting. No one is doing, we're just voting by mail. There you go.
And no one is doing a you're going to get a ballot whether you ask for it or not. And
no. Maryland is mailing off applications for ballots, but they're not. You don't just get one.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's that.
So there's not really a fear that people can just, you know, stuff the ballot box by, you know, voting for, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know how other states did. Maryland always had ballots that got accounted for. Like, your ballot was, like, your ballot. So it wasn't like, here's 10,000 ballots with Joe Biden's name on them. Like, it's going to be the Aaron ballot, the Ed ballot. And, if it got filled in, it showed up. If it didn't, but like every ballot had a voter attached to it. So that's kind of been there around for a bit. what's changed is with Maryland, at least, and I can't speak to other places, is my place of voting, because I've opted to do the mail-in, just out of precaution. We have older in-laws, and I'll get them sick. We're probably going to drop them off. Anyway, I'm no longer the precinct that I was formerly assigned to. So I can't vote there. I have to vote with the ballot that comes in the mail.
Okay. But you can drop it off somewhere.
I can drop it off at the at one of the approved facilities.
Okay. And that's your plan. Just drop it off.
Yepper.
You have one. Can you drop it off at any point? Or are you only on?
No, it's at a certain point before the election. They're going to let people drop them off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's a couple days. It's been over a couple days, though, right?
Yeah, a period of time, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Well, I like in Arkansas, they have, you can go vote 2 weeks before the election or 3 weeks before the election.
So Baltimore does have early voting.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to coincide with that.
Yeah, I don't see why you can't have early voting, everywhere.
I can see why. I mean, you need people manning booths, volunteers. Like, that's kind of one of the things that people complain about. Like, there's not enough this, not another thing. And that can be valid. So, about opening polls and things like that, typically – there's not a overabundance of volunteers for voting. Like, they don't turn away volunteers.
Right, right.
So that's kind of my one thing with people that are, no matter what, there's all sorts of people concerned about voting. What can I do? You can go volunteer for your local election. Right. Be an election steward, be an election official. Do your part. That's what I say.
Do you know if you're not registered to vote in a state, like how much time you have? Or is it too late? Or do you know?
Oh, no, it's quite time. People could start right now if they needed to.
Okay.
Certainly could.
Good, because I need to get my registration converted to PA so I can vote in PA.
Should be no problem.
Good.
August for November. You should be no problem.
Awesome. Good. Good, good, good. Because I don't want to miss
out. Andrew State's in play, so I'd get on it.
Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. Well, I don't think, with everything, maybe I'm all wet here, but I think Trump is going to win handily.
Really?
I do.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm seeing anything to show that he's going to win handily. I certainly could win.
Just the fact that, the incumbency has, its yep. privileges.
It sure does.
Typically,
they win.
What's that?
Yeah, typically the incumbent wins.
And
we'll have to see what the impact is on the I don't know. Some people are, saying it's not that big of a announcement, but he did make the announcement on the one therapy. Apparently, they've been doing it on a large scale, a lot of places. But I don't know. I didn't hear about therapy until he talked about it. So there's that. Pence is really emphasizing he thinks there's going to be a vaccine by the end of the year. That could be a big October surprise if they really say. And Republican governor in Maryland, Governor Hogan, he said that one of the local ones here should have 1 million doses by December. So if people thought there was an imminent vaccine coming, what would they how would they react to that in regards to Trump? I think that's a real open question. Because that's one of the things that they're saying he's saddled with is his handling of COVID-19. If it becomes well known ahead of December, and this is all speculation. If there were to be a vaccine released in December, and Trump really starts hitting the campaign trail on that, that could be a game changer. Real game changer. So we'll see.
Hmm. Oh, there's a lot of time for sure. 70 days. That's a ton of time. Right.
A ton of time.
Hmm. Well, you know, if there is a vaccine, I mean, that would be remarkable, extremely remarkable, to get a vaccine out for a virus.
It would be
like this.
Do you think that people? There seems to be a large anti, maybe if not vaccine per se, but anti like this vaccine.
An anti COVID vaccine.
There's I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's everybody's just naturally anti-vax in this particular case. There is like the involvement of Bill Gates. He certainly has his detractors, to say the least. You know, some people accuse him of being a member of like a Illuminati government cabal. So there's that. So if a significant, and I don't know how many, portion of people on Trump's side think that, what is the impact to say that there's a vaccine coming in December? Do they rail against it? I don't know. That's kind of an open question. We'll have to see. Or maybe they feel that if Trump gives it the approval, then it's not been tampered with. It's not for malevolent intention. I don't know.
So what is going on with I need to look this up here. What is going on with Bill Gates? And they said that he wants to put like a chip in the vaccine.
That's not a thing.
Okay, good. Vaccine development and surveillance. This is from the Gates Foundation. What is the vaccine development and surveillance? Novel vaccines.
I didn't read it.
Tracking diseases. Is that where people were getting the fact that, he wants to chip people?
Yeah, I mean, there's an idea of, they do want to track who gets the vaccine. So, for sure, they do want to do that. And people are, concerned. The opportunity, we can accelerate vaccines and low resource by cultivating deep expertise in the vaccine manufacturing process. Our strategy, adaptive trial design, streamlining of the scheduled dosing of vaccines, novel delivering formats of vaccines, and modular automated manufacturing platforms, enabling small vaccine production.
Right. And the better data helps prioritize products, which increases our ability to make a meaningful impact.
Yeah, we believe that MITS, minimally invasive tissue sampling, can be, when combined with other elements of a national surveillance system, which is, that's scary to talk about, can dramatically improve the accuracy of investigations of cause of death. This in turn will better aggregate data used by public health institutions and the industry. So, yeah, they're talking about, stuff that's already in play, but they want to tie in, tissue sampling with this other stuff and surveillance domain. Our surveillance domain invests to improve the world understanding of causes of mortality and disability through three activities. Unprecedented pathology-based surveillance through MITS and childhood deaths. So that means they're collecting samplings, when kids die, they'll do a tissue sampling. Mm-hmm. The extrapolation of that data through the Countrywide Mortality Surveillance Action, COMSA. Improved modeling and mapping of global mortality and disease through the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, IHME. So yeah, it's surveillance, right? They're collecting data from around the country and dumping it into this system. And we have to ask, how we feel about that. They're thought is that it's benevolent, but it is, you know, our data, right?
Sure, sure.
And, you know, this is kind of gets back into the whole prison thing. It's all metadata. We're not taking your name down. We're taking their cause of death. But, you know, it's a little jarring, a little unsettling.
Well, I mean, but it's
not, it's not a chip per se, though, because here's the issue with the chips. Like, the one that they had, I think it was Sweden, I think they're putting chips on. Basically, it was a little, like, almost like a card reader. Mm-hmm. And you could say, okay, this person has these, like, they'd wave their wand over this thing, and the thing would give a report saying, these are the vaccines that this person has. And they'd be able to do that. Source of Gates Foundation's doing. I haven't seen anything of that. And you don't inject it with the vaccine anyways. It's just a different different process.
Sure, sure, sure.
Installing a microchip under you don't shove in the muscle, for instance.
Right.
So it's just different. You know, I'm not saying they wouldn't stick chips in people, but it's just that's not – you don't do it with the vaccine. And, yeah, they are trying to collect data on everybody in the United States and cause death, and that means it's going to be, you know, housed at this one – you know, housed at University of Washington, Wisconsin. So it's a little weird, but it's where we're at now in big data, right? So there's lots and lots of these initiatives to collect data, analyze data, and you know, the thought is they can get more and more of it, and they can you know, find more and make better decisions.
I mean, I don't think really people really have to worry, because, you know, this is Microsoft. It's going to be on Azure. It's going to be using SQL. I mean, it's going to crash. I mean, seriously.
The chances of this thing not dying or not having significant technical issues.
I mean, unless they bring in Oracle and then really have them do the database. I mean, that's just not going to work. I mean, there's no concern. You know, use the what was that?
They're going to be on Teams. They'll be on Microsoft Teams talking about it. Do you use Teams?
No, yes, I have once, and my computer wants me to install it more, you know.
All the time. Hey, your organization doesn't have Teams loaded. Teams?
I know, exactly.
Oh, now do you want Teams? Now? Or now?
I'm ready for the antitrust on Teams. You know, I was.
Yeah.
For
the love of God, if you ask me about Teams one more effing time.
Yes.
That's what I want to have a congressional hearing on. Ask me about Teams again, please. Can you please ask me about Teams yet again?
Where's Janet Reno when you need her?
Where's Janet Reno when you need him? Right.
Jeez.
She's hiding because they keep asking about Teams. That's where she is.
I know. Teams. It's annoying.
Over and over. So my organization, like, Teams is loaded into our profile. But they don't enable it. So every time it pulls up, it's like, can you ask your organization about Teams? They don't want to turn on for everybody. They could do it, but they don't want to maintain it because it's like a pain. So I get to see it every day. Hey, you know what your organization doesn't have? A Teams license? That's right, a Teams license. Hey, tell you about your Teams license, Bill Gates.
Take it to your boss. Have him do it right now. And you guys can be using Teams.
Teams.
It doesn't work on the iPad.
Nope. So. Nor will it ever.
No.
That's a negative, Ghost Rider. What movie is that from?
Top Gun.
Exactly. Love Top Gun. There's a new Top Gun coming out. I can't wait. I'm excited about it.
Are you?
Yes.
Apparently there's a new Planes, Trains, and Automobiles coming out.
I'm not excited about that one.
No. Is that true? Is that really happening?
There is. Yes.
Why would you mess with that?
Why, you might ask? I don't know why.
And this one guy, I mean, he was actually pretty nice. He's like, you know, he said, I said, why do it? He's like, is it going to hurt you at all that they remake this movie? And I said,
yep.
Yes. Plus, I mean, when I watch it, I'm going to have to compare it to the original. And there's no way that it's going to come any.
And it's Will Smith and Kevin Hart.
I love them both.
Yeah, but not in these roles.
No, no.
I'd see them in a movie together. I'd see them in a movie together.
Sure.
But, like, you know, here's the one thing. They're both too good looking.
Right.
Like, not to say Martin was bad looking, but he was supposed to be, like, just your average run-of-the-mill, like, business guy.
You're right. You're
and
right.
Then there was John Candy.
Slobby, sloven, you know, has too much, you know, all over the place.
Yes, know. Loud.
Exactly.
So my favorite scene in the movie, what's your favorite scene? I'll tell you mine.
Man, I have a couple of them. I like the I like it when they're finally at the getting along and they have the small drinks and they're playing games, you know, and they're the last night pretty much, and
yes.
And they're drinking the little whiskey bottles, and
yes.
And they have little things and they're just reminiscing about things and
the trip,
yeah. That was one of my favorite scenes.
My favorite scene is when the car is spinning out of control on fire.
Yeah.
And Steve Martin looks over at John Candy and he's laughing and he pictures him as the devil.
Yes. Yes.
That was hysterical.
That was good.
When he has to pull his hands off the partially melted steering wheel.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. I just don't think it's going to be like that funny.
No, it can't be.
So if I were to remake it, I would probably, like, and you can come at me at the casting if you get ready for this one. Get ready to swing. Either these mixes have already been done, but a Sandra Bullock, Melissa McCarthy, the cop movie they did together.
Hmm.
Or Kirsten Wiig and Melissa McCarthy, Little Bridesmaids.
Okay.
Melissa McCarthy could do the John Candy character.
You know, she Melissa
McCarthy not better, not better, no. Mind you.
No,
like not better for me, but she could do that style of comedy.
She grew on me. The Bridesmaids, she grew on me.
I think she's great. She's very funny.
In Bridesmaids, she grew on me. I didn't. I think I started with one I didn't like, which is Tammy. I didn't like Tammy.
Yeah, Tammy's not a good one. Did you see the one where she did with Sandra Bullock where they're cops?
No, but I will now.
That was really funny. I'd recommend seeing that one.
See, I came from a bad start. I started with Tammy, and then I saw her in the Ghostbusters.
I didn't see the Ghostbusters movie.
It was okay. It was okay. But
did you ever watch Mike and Molly?
I did.
So Mike was not terribly funny on that show.
No.
But her, when it was her sister, and the mom, Susie Kurtz,
mm-hmm.
They were very funny together. Did you see the one where they thought the neighbor murdered his wife?
No.
So the plot line is they think that this neighbor murdered his wife. And they're like spying on him, and he's getting rid of her stuff. And they're watching him do it through the window. It turns out his wife died. He was getting rid of her stuff. He's a grieving widow. And they're the only people on the block who didn't know it because everybody in their block hates them.
Okay.
It's just really funny. And at one point they start stealing her. They know that she's dead at this point. They start stealing her purses. They're a really nice purse. The guy was just going to give them away anyway. So they're stealing them because they're basically the low lives on the block. It was pretty funny.
Okay, that's funny. That's funny. Okay.
But yeah, there's another Ghostbusters coming out. Did you know that?
I did, yes.
I think it's called just yet another effing Ghostbusters.
Yes.
The FG?
Yes, I think they're going to cast Slimer in this one too. I think they're going to actually.
Slimer is in it. I thought I saw Slimer
of course,
in the preview.
Of course. I mean, that's. If you're going to jump the shark, jump it all the way.
Like, you punch the gas.
Yes.
When you're trying to destroy this one. I actually like the actress in it, Carrie Coons, but she's just not a comedic actress, right? So this version of Ghostbusters is just like, I don't know. Did you see the preview?
No, I didn't.
It was almost like a little, like, I don't know, like Stranger Things, maybe?
Carrie Coons. Huh. No.
I recommend her in Fargo. Love Fargo. Watch the TV show Fargo.
That her.
She was the, she was in the third season.
Okay. Okay, I know who, okay. Yeah, I know who that is. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, she's great. Love her. She was also in The Leftovers, another good series. I liked it a lot. The
Leftovers. Oh, yeah. Right. Well, I thought you were going to go with Jack Black. I thought you were going to say Jack Black.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't do, like, he's not unassuming. And that was, like, John Candy's thing. He just looked like a schlep, you know?
Yeah.
Like he, and then Ms. McCarthy is kind of, like, unassuming. But then she's, like, then her stuff's really, like, pretty funny. Jack Black, he's, like, you know, he's real high energy all the time. He's never unassuming. So I don't know that he'd be a good fit. He's a funny guy. I like him. Very funny.
Hmm. Who would be a good John Candy then for that?
As far as male, I like it's all I got is Melissa McCarthy. Yeah. I think she's the only.
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right. yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, but and Steve Martin. I mean, he played a good role too in that movie.
Yeah, Steve Martin is. I don't know. There's nobody that's a Steve Martin. Man.
No. I mean, I just what he pulls off in that movie. You know.
Yeah, he's. I'm a big Steve Martin fan. I like Steve Martin a lot.
He's like It's like you're a talking Chatty Cathy doll, except for. Except for someone's not pulling the string. You are. I could go to insurance seminars and sit there for a whole week with a smile on my face. And they say, how do you do it? And I say, because I've been with Del Griffith.
A week with Del Griffith, yeah.
Of the shower curtain ring salesman. Yeah, I know what you mean.
The jerk?
Yes.
My wife, when she first saw The Jerk, felt bad for him.
Really?
She was young. She was very young, and apparently her parents had it on. She wasn't, like, getting the jokes behind it.
Okay.
And I want to watch again with her, because I find that movie hysterical.
I do, too.
I don't need anything except his TV and his phone. Just the phone and the TV. Yeah. That whole thing. I can't do it all. But anyway, he's just so funny. He's hysterical.
He did some pretty good stand-up, too.
He did very funny stand-up, yeah.
It's just, yeah, did you see him on, you should go back and see him on Carson, his first.
I saw him on Carson. I saw a stand-up on Carson.
His first stand-up. Where he's just playing a guitar and talking.
Ukulele, right? It was a guitar.
Maybe it was a ukulele, yeah, probably.
Yeah, because he did play both, so I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember. I thought it was guitar, though, in that set.
It may have been. I might have been, like.
Or banjo, actually.
Oh, yeah, right. That's fine. Maybe that's, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Talented guy, that's Steve Martin.
He is. That was such a great duo.
Who's that?
Steve Martin and John Candy.
Yeah, they were fantastic together.
They didn't do anything else together, did they?
Not that I know of. Like, in the 80s, what Steve Martin did, that... Did you see Mixed Nuts? That was funny. He was in that.
I did see that.
I liked it. Roxanne, I think, was his big one in the 80s.
Loved Roxanne.
Yeah, love that. That was really funny. Daryl Hannah.
Olive Oil was in it. What's her name?
Shelley Duvall.
Yes.
You meant olive oil from the
Popeye.
Yeah.
Yes. What else? Yeah.
No, that was he's written play.
Oh, Fred Willard.
You know, it's funny. I'm looking right now. He hasn't done that many movies.
Steve Martin hasn't?
I'm looking right now.
Simple Twist of Fate. I like that movie.
Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Yes.
Oh, I remember these now. The Father of the Bride movies. Mm-hmm. That was those 90s. Cheaper by the Dozen. Three Amigos. I shouldn't say his name. He hasn't done that much. He's done a lot of movies, but like he was doing like. Did you see The Spanish Prisoner? That was a good movie.
No.
He kind of like started doing like Novocaine. That was another one. It was like an art house kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's in Little Shop of Horrors.
He did Little Shop of Horrors, yeah. So, yeah, it's like another nice mess. He was in the Muppet movie in 79.
Oh, yeah.
He was in The Jerk, Pennies from Heaven. He was in Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, The Man with Two Brains. The Lonely Guy, I didn't see that. All of Me, I did see.
Lily Tomlin.
Did you see that one?
Lily Tomlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was a good one. I didn't see Movers and Shakers. Three Amigos, Little Shop of Horrors. Well, he was just a lot. Just let me see how many movies he was in.
He was in the...
He was assuming for like 80 movies, and he wasn't.
He was in the televangelist movie.
Leap of Faith.
Leap of Faith, yes.
You like that one?
I didn't see it. I haven't on DVD. I didn't see it.
I liked it. It's certainly not not pro-faith.
I'm sure.
He's in 53 movies, and that's a lot of movies. But a lot of that, it's like he was like a voice in some of them, and. Ones are short documentary and like, I don't know. I think he was in less movies than I thought he was in.
Did you see A Simple Twist of Fate?
No, I haven't.
It's a movie where, you know, he takes in a baby. He just, you know, and then, it's whether or not he can keep the baby or not, you know, as he grows up, you know, keep the kid as he grows up. It's got some pretty funny lines. Catherine O'Hara is in it, and she's trying to help him out. You know, and they go to court together, and she's so nervous about what she says. And in one line, she's like, "He's like, well, what has he done that you know to make sure that she's progressing, and you know, in her intellectual abilities? You know, he's like, she's like, well, you know, when she's." When she felt like she no longer wanted to read children books, he let her read adult books. She's like, no. So
that's fun. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, it's a good
movie. Did you see? Yeah, see it here. It's a 1993 Grand Canyon. I thought that was a My Blue Heaven, I like that one a lot.
Oh my gosh, that was one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite movies. Really
isn't that Parenthood, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is a lot of fun.
Yes. Was it the hyena? What was it?
The con artists. He was with Michael Caine.
Michael Caine, but what?
I knew the third one who turned out to be the woman.
Right. Yeah. I love Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
That was a good one.
Man.
Yeah, it was definitely a good one.
Well, My Blue Heaven, I can't believe I forgot about that one.
You are so hot that you could melt all this stuff. Yeah. That's the line I remember from My Blue Heaven.
I like the, he's walking out of the store. He's like, they're like, have a nice day. He's like, he just swears at him.
Right.
F you.
Right. Right. Yeah, that was very funny.
And it's just a great movie. He's like, women think they have a sense of humor, but they don't.
Yeah, right. That's another great line.
What is a pregnant woman and a light bulb have in common? You can unscrew a light bulb.
What's the difference between a pregnant woman and a light bulb? You can unscrew a
light. Right. See? It's like, what's your second scared number? 3, 4, 6, 2, 8. Wait, that's not enough numbers. Loved it. Anyway.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Man, I got to watch that again. And Rick Moranis did a good job there, too.
Yeah, Rick Moranis is underrated. He left film. He just left.
Really?
Said he was all done.
Man, I was listening to, again, it popped up in my rotation. Bob and Doug McKenzie popped up. And so I was listening to him and Dave Thomas. And
good stuff.
Man, when did he stop acting?
He's coming back for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Let's see here. Acting hiatus. In 1997, Moranis took a hiatus from working in the film industry. He later explained, I'm a single parent. I just found it too difficult to raise my kids and to do the traveling involved in making movies. So I took a bit of a break. And the little bit of a break turned into a longer break, and I found that I really didn't miss it. So that was in 97. I guess it was he declined to make an invitational cameo appearance in 2016's Ghostbusters. But he said he hadn't be retired from acting, just more selective about future roles. In 2017, he did resurrected. He was Doug, right?
Yes,
he was Doug. Came back as Doug because that had to do with caring for Jake Thomas, Dave's nephew, who suffered a spinal cord injury. So that's why he came back for that. He returned as the character. I didn't know this. He returned as Dark Helmet in the Goldbergs. I have to find that episode.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Did not know that. I've seen some of the Goldbergs. It's okay. Yeah, so that's Rick Moranis. He was going to be in the sequel to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. When completed, so who knows when that's going to be signed on to it. It will be the first Moranis live-action movie in 23 years.
Wow. Is Hollywood making movies again?
Not that I know of. I think they're still on lockdown.
Hmm.
But quit breathing on you people, Hollywood, they say.
Right, right.
The governor is right now.
What about so the Mint? Is the Mint shut down still? Is that why we don't have change?
Maybe.
I mean, you've seen that, right? You can't.
I have heard. I haven't dealt with change in ages, so sometimes I buy soda at work and deal with change then. Otherwise, right. It's not a common thing for me.
No. But I mean, stores should still accept it and give it out.
They do. But yeah, apparently it's quite the commodity.
Yes. Yeah. Hmm. Anyway. Huh. Rick Moranis. Dave Thomas. I don't know what he's doing. So you said they resurrected Bob and Doug McKenzie?
Yeah, in 2017. For that show.
For what show?
They did a benefit concert in Toronto.
I missed it. I didn't know that.
Because his nephew suffered a spinal cord injury and was paralyzed from the waist down. So they did a benefit concert for him.
Wow. Huh. Interesting. I did not know that. I didn't think they'd done anything since, Second City television shows.
Nope.
I watched that. Actually, I tuned into that, looked it out on Facebook, YouTube and everything. It's pretty funny. They're little segments that they do.
Bob and Gezi, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, very fun. Absolutely.
Man. It's amazing that, you know, a lot of them still, you know, Catherine O'Hara still does it, Gene Levy, well, they're doing Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, have you watched Schitt's Creek?
I have. I've seen
quite a bit. I saw the first couple episodes. I had it talked up too much for me.
Yeah.
I think I would have liked it a lot better if I just stumbled upon it.
Well, have you seen more than just a couple episodes?
I saw like the first three.
Okay. It gets better. I think it's, you know, did it seem a little dry and a little just reaching, dry yet reaching?
Yeah, I mean, it's Eugene Levy being, you know, the Eugene Levy character, you know, I'm in these crazy situations.
Right.
And, yeah.
Except for Best in Show. No.
Well, Best in Show had just a much bigger cast.
Yeah. And also the Mighty Wind. He's also different than that. He's just,
that was a fun one, yeah.
But, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, but, well, it's his son. His son wanted to do it. And he, you know, cast him. And then, you know, it was thought to cast Catherine O'Hara. And it just seemed like it took a couple episodes for them to get their chemistry back.
Yep.
And Catherine O'Hara to get her, you know, her groove back with it all, to me. But I think it's good. Yep. I think it's pretty good. I mean, you know, Chris Elliott's in it.
Yeah, I like Chris Elliott. Good to see him working again.
Yeah, I think he does a good job. He can play some pretty, I don't know, what, grotesquely disgusting characters, you know, all wrapped up in a nice package.
Yeah, right.
It's Something About Mary, you know.
Yes.
He turns out to be the, you know, creepy, really creepy guy, and he does a great job of it at the end. Something About Mary, have you seen it, obviously?
Oh, yeah, love that one.
I hope to start watching Dark soon. It's on my list now that my son's here.
I like it a lot. Also, I think we talked about it. You haven't watched Umbrella Academy either yet?
I have not yet.
It's another good one.
I want to get to it. What about people talking about Cutie or something? Have you heard about that? There's some outrage. It's about it seems to be an international kind of Netflix show series. It's about teen dancing competitions.
So I thought that was Cutie. Some show called Cheer. I thought I heard about. It's about cheerleaders, but I guess there's men and women cheerleaders in that.
I think this is
called Cutie.
I think so.
Go look it up. Cutie.
Yeah, cuties. Cuties.
Keys. Came up before I finished typing. Cuties Netflix. Now, Netflix shocking movie poster landed it in the middle of QAnon's Child Crusade. I don't think they should call that QAnon's Child Crusade because they're not actually sending children to go fight in the Holy Land. there they are. That doesn't look that bad. It's not the poster, though. Where's the poster? I'm looking at this one thing. It's just these girls, like looking at the camera, but it's not. They're just like their heads.
Yeah. Well, so supposedly the outrageous.
Apologizes for the movie poster. Apologize for sexualized cuties poster featuring kids. Yeah, this isn't the year to do sexual. Yeah, that's a sexualized poster right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate seeing something like that.
And there's a trailer where they're doing a lot of, you know,
dancing,
you know, sexualized.
That doesn't sound well to me. I don't like all that.
No. Okay, I didn't know if you'd heard about that or not, but
No. I knew that there was some sort of controversy. I didn't know the specific show, but yeah, looking at this poster here, that's pretty bad. I mean, like, I don't know. Just the pose this one girl's in is like No. I wouldn't have my daughter ever do that. Not at all. Not at all.
And then, no, of course not. And then, like I said, it seems to be like a international, like it wasn't, it was done internationally somewhere else. So I think there was some, you know, difference of morals, you know, like difference of a different lens on the morals. Hey, it's just kids, you know, dancing sexually.
I mean, they do that not in America too. Cause I mean, like that's the whole child beauty pageant thing that like, what's that girl that got murdered?
Benet Ramsey.
Benet Ramsey. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a thought that somebody at the pageant killed her?
Yes.
Like a pageant goer or hanger on or something.
Right,
murdered
right,
her.
Right.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. Yeah. Not my thing.
No, that's exactly right. But it just seems like that's not, I don't know what, I think we took a step in the United States to, you know, kind of put a,
I don't know. They do. This is me being judgy. Right. But I mean, like I see a lot of these, like, kids going to these dance things and, I'll be blunt. That's some, I wasn't excited to see my daughter in dance for those reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have her in dance. But like ballet, I could see, you know, it's fine. There's leotards and whatnot, but like outfits that are like, I would say revealing on a woman would be revealing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wearing them at young ages, like out and about. And, I don't know, maybe they have tights on or whatnot, but even still, it doesn't sit well with me.
No,
but I'm being judged. So I admit that.
No, I think it's fine because it's your kid.
It is my kid. I'm judgmental about their kids too.
Right.
It just kind of puts up this thing out there, you know, this thing.
Right. Hey, and with that, we must leave. Let's wrap it up. It went quick.
It did go quick.
Everyone have a good night and thanks for coming. Please tip your bartender. Thank you.
Bartenders and waiters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.